The Bible reading is from Genesis chapter 39 and can be found on page 43 in the Pew Bibles. Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything that Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care, and with Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favour in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your precious word to us. And Lord, as we approach it now, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us, speaking into each of our hearts and helping us to be willing and obedient servants of you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we can feel lonely in many ways, can't we? There's the fearful loneliness of a walk home in the middle of the night or being lost far away from home. There's the moral loneliness of standing alone against something we know to be wrong or being the only one to choose the godly path. And there's that really painful loneliness of singleness, widowhood, loss, abandonment. Being alone makes us feel helpless and vulnerable. But as Christians, we know that God is with us when we are, humanly speaking, alone. But that can lead us to an even greater sense of loneliness when things don't go well for us. Where is God, we ask? Is he really with me? We echo the words of the psalmist, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Day after day have sorrow in my heart." When it feels like God is absent, then we have an even worse sense of loneliness than if we didn't know him. Where once there'd been peace in his presence, now restless anxiety and fear. Where once we felt bathed in his love, now we feel lost and confused. So in our story today, just imagine what Joseph was feeling as we join him. He may have once been the beloved of his father, but that is so distant now. He nearly was murdered by his brother. They tried to kill him. Thankfully, he avoided that fate. But instead, he was sold into slavery, taken far away from his homeland of Canaan to Egypt, and sold to an important official in the king's court, Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And he lays down to sleep at night, probably in some small dark space. How lonely he must have felt. Far from home in a foreign land, with a foreign language he doesn't understand maybe. Rejected by his brothers, far from his family, with no friends and no one to stand up for him. He was at the very bottom of the pile, but he moved in the shadow of the high and mighty. How lonely and fearful Joseph must have felt, and how he must have wondered what might become of him and what God was up to, all those wonderful dreams he'd had just a short while before. But the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis says this 4 times in chapter 39. The Lord was with Joseph. That's the point that this passage is screaming at us and the Israelites who first read it. The Lord was with Joseph, despite all that happened to him, unfairly sold into slavery, unjustly put into prison, things that few of us, if any, will face. Despite all that, God himself, the Lord, was with him. And we note that here we have God's personal name. It's Lord in capital letters. That in our Bible, how we translate the personal name of God, Yahweh. God is not with Joseph in some far-off abstract sense, but personally there with him, invested personally in him. Indeed, later in chapter 41, Joseph is recognized as having God's spirit in him, the only person of whom that is said in Genesis. But the Lord is with Joseph in the context of mistreatment by his brothers, injustice in being thrown into prison, enslavement, and the sense of abandonment and loneliness which went with it all. So how did that work? Well, let's look at this story in Genesis. The first thing we notice is how God being with Joseph means actually he's blessed. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Verse 3, the Lord was with him, Joseph, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did. And that led to promotion, we see in verse 4. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. God being with Joseph meant he was blessed, he succeeded, and practically he was promoted. God's presence with Joseph meant sometimes life went well for him. He would have put in a lot of hard work too, no doubt, but God saw that that work was successful and noticed by those around him. It was obviously bittersweet, though, for Joseph. His success ultimately was a greater blessing to his masters than to him himself. But it would have been so much worse for Joseph had God not given him that success. But also God was blessing Joseph through the bad things which happened to him too, although in a different way. All through Genesis, we see God at work despite and through the bad and sinful things people do. So Joseph is sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar is captain of the guard, and so he has Pharaoh's prisoners in his house. That is where Joseph next week will meet the cupbearer, who was also in prison there, the cupbearer of Pharaoh, whose dream he will interpret, which will then lead to him being able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, which leads him to becoming second in command in Egypt. And so through that, he is able to save his family, the family of presence, and the lives of the whole of the Middle East. If he was sold to anyone else, that would be unlikely to have happened. God had his hand in it. And he needed to be in prison at exactly the right time. So his unjust imprisonment also was part of the plan. And in both cases, Joseph gets off a little bit lighter than he might have otherwise done. Obviously, the brothers wanted to kill him, but he became a slave instead. It's slightly better being a slave than being killed. And actually, the punishment that he should have received if he had have attempted to rape Potiphar's wife would have been death, not imprisonment. So in both cases, God is also helping him to survive through these bad circumstances. Each time Joseph is knocked down, well, at this time it must have felt heartbreaking to him. Looking back, Joseph would have seen that indeed, through those events, the Lord was with him and ultimately was blessing him because he was working for his best and the best of the world around him. The Lord is with Joseph, directing his path sometimes through success and sometimes through the wrong that others did to him. And all the time, through this whole process, God is preparing Joseph by his work on a small scale for his future work of leading the whole of the nation of Egypt. Like an unstoppable force, the Lord being with Joseph meant that whatever happened, the Lord used it for Joseph's ultimate good and to further his purposes. So first, the Lord being with Joseph meant he is blessed. But secondly, and maybe more importantly, others are blessed through Joseph. Notice here that even more than Joseph, Potiphar is blessed. Joseph's life from when he was first sold into slavery until he dies is one of bringing blessing to other people. First Potiphar, then the prison warder, then the cupbearer, then Pharaoh, then Egypt, then the surrounding nations. Although Joseph finds blessing through this process, it's in the context of his slavery and imprisonment. So it's not all given to him on a plate, is it? The true effect of God being with Joseph is that through him, God's blessings come to others. Potiphar is blessed. He has no worries about his household. He gives up even checking up on Joseph, such as his trust. The prison warder is blessed as he has no worries with Joseph about. It's all done for him. Pharaoh was blessed through Joseph. By the end of this cycle of stories, at the end of the famine, the whole wealth of the people of Egypt had pretty much become Pharaoh's personal wealth through Joseph's good management. Pharaoh was amazingly blessed. Basically, the whole nation became his slaves. And when Joseph is later reunited with his brothers, he shares his wealth and blessings with them too. Joseph, whether in service, in prison, or in command, shows that same humility and brings blessing. He doesn't hoard it for himself. The third thing that happens as a result of the Lord being with Joseph is that he faces temptation and disaster. Often it's the case that when blessings come to us and flow out through us to others, then temptations come along too. Opposition is around the corner. God also blessed Joseph with good looks. Genesis is very positive about Joseph's looks. The only other person that's spoken of so positively with looks-wise is his mum, Rachel. He was good looking, and Potiphar's wife noticed this teenage Adonis walking round and working, bulging biceps and all of that. And she wants some of it. So Joseph's integrity is tested. Is the trust that Potiphar places in Joseph going to be misplaced? Is Joseph going to follow God's ways or not? But all through, Joseph is exemplary. There's a great contrast to last week's story, for those of you who were there, the story of Judah and Tamar. That is a story of blame on both sides, of stunning moral ambiguity and shared responsibility for wrongdoing. Genesis knows all about grey areas, but this is not a grey area. The writer is very, very clear. Joseph got it right. There was nothing wrong with what Joseph did here. He fled this temptation again and again in the face of constant provocation, just as we need to flee temptation when it comes our way. Because Joseph knew that to sleep with Potiphar's wife would be an abuse of trust, an offense against her husband and his master, and a great sin against God. So he refuses to even be with her. But sadly, Potiphar's wife springs a trap. Send the servants away, grab him off guard. But still he flees, leaving his cloak behind in her hands, giving her the ammunition to twist the circumstances to make it look like Joseph tried to rape her. Poor Joseph. We wouldn't like to be in his situation. So again, we see here that God being with us doesn't mean everything goes right. Sometimes there's testing, and sometimes even when we do the right things, we are rewarded with injustice and evil. But what keeps the blessings flowing to and through Joseph is that Joseph continues to trust in God all the way through, and he will not sin against him. Throughout these stories, however low he is, Joseph still points to God's greatness and trusts in God in word and action. And the two go hand in hand. Joseph's trust in God, shown in his words and actions, and the Lord being with him. And so at the end of this chapter, we have Joseph now in prison, but in the same position of blessing. The Lord was with him, twice it said once again. His work was blessed, and through him, others received God's blessing. So what does the Lord being with Joseph look like? It looks like finding blessing through good and bad times. It looks like that blessing overflowing to others. And it looks like the Lord still being with us through temptation and disaster. And it goes hand in hand with faith in God worked out in action. But this is a story that has a wider role in Genesis 2. Because up to now, as we've read the stories of Genesis, we've seen God's work to bless Abraham's family, despite them sometimes getting it wrong, despite others doing them wrong too. We've seen their wealth increase, which God promised to Abraham would happen to his family back in chapter 12. But I wonder if you remember that there God also promised that Abraham and his family would be a blessing to the nations too, to those around them. Up to this point, maybe little blessing has come to those around Abraham, Abraham's family, and Joseph's family, for he's the great-grandson. Sometimes actually quite the opposite happened. They suck the wealth out of those around them. But now we have the story of Joseph. Joseph, who brings God's blessing on those around him through his trust in God, through his humble obedience in the face of temptation, through his godly character, through God's blessing working through him. So that blessing starts to go out from the family to bless the nations around them. And that's important because in Genesis, that promise of chapter 12 is also God's promised solution to the sin and rebellion of humanity, which is documented in gruesome detail in chapters 1 to 11. So it's really important that the blessings don't get stuck in Abraham's family, but flows out to the world. In Joseph, Genesis is signaling to us that our outflow is beginning. Because Joseph, like Abraham, has faith and a practical trust in God, even in those tough times. Although Joseph gets a very good press in Genesis, he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. But it was only Abraham's greatest son, Jesus Christ, who had total trust and obedience towards God, who always got it right and was perfect. And Jesus descended even further than Joseph, from the heights of heaven down to earth, down to the death on a cross. When he was tempted, he did not succumb. He was humbled. He faced injustice. He was declared guilty when innocent. He suffered. he died. And he did it all so that God's blessings could come to the nations, to us, so that God's promised gift of freedom and forgiveness could flow out to the world, to all that shared Joseph's faith. Indeed, the Lord wasn't just with Jesus. Jesus was the Lord. So through his suffering and death, all the blessings of heaven rain down on us when we trust in him. Joseph here is just a foretaste of the one through whom God truly will and did bless the nations. So we've seen what it was like for the Lord to be with Joseph, and how in Jesus that pattern was played out to the full. But what does it mean for the Lord to be with us today? Joseph's particular experience of the Lord being with him was far from common in the Old Testament, but it's now available to us all through Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the new. When we share the faith that Joseph had and place it in Jesus, we can know the Lord is with us. That's what Jesus promised at the end of Matthew's Gospel. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The Lord Jesus is with us every step of the journey of life when we trust in him, through the good times and the bad. He's placed his spirit in our hearts to help us on that road, to help us to trust and obey and flee temptation as Joseph did. We, like Joseph, have the Spirit of God in us. The Lord is indeed with us when we've placed our trust in Jesus and that death that brought us forgiveness. And then, like Joseph, we find great blessing from God. In Ephesians, which we were looking at a few months ago, Paul writes this: "Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." We who have faith in Jesus, if we place our faith in Jesus, have every spiritual blessing. That's why it's such a wonderful thing. Everything we need to get through those good times and through the bad times. The physical blessings of the Old Testament become mostly spiritual blessings in the new. The amazing and wonderful gift of forgiveness, to be forgiven, free of guilt and shame. True freedom from all fear. Pure joy. Deep peace, steadfast hope, and a real sense of the immeasurable love of God. These are all ours when we place our faith in Jesus Christ through his Spirit living in our hearts. But also, as for Joseph, these are not blessings we hoard for ourselves. Jesus' promise that he will be with us is in that context of him commissioning us as a church to go and tell everyone about the good news of Jesus. That's the main way that God's blessing flows out from us today to those around us. Obviously, there are other ways, through offering people practical help, a listening ear, caring for the needy, many other ways. But the main way God's blessings come to the nations today is through us helping others discover for themselves the blessings of the Father through Jesus, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. But as I end, the Lord being with us, it's clear, is not a get-out-of-suffering-free card. Joseph faced trouble, and so will we. The Lord might be with us, and still bad things might happen to us. So what are we meant to make of that? In Joseph's life, we see that the Lord was with him and at work for his ultimate blessing, both where everyone saw blessings fall wherever he set his feet, and also when disaster struck. He suffered some awful things, but as he looked back, as he rode in the chariot of the second in command in Egypt, with all this glory and riches, as he was there, and he looked back to life in Potiphar's house, as he looked back to life in prison, I'm sure that he would have said, it was more than worth it going through that experience. And when we rest in the Lord's full embracing glory, every tear we've shed, every hurt we've suffered, every pain we've felt, all the loss and the loneliness, the strain and the stress, will be nothing compared to, in comparison to, the joy and love we will experience there. When we are metaphorically like Joseph in the prison cell, alone and abandoned, the Lord is with us. Now, like Joseph, that's a matter of trust. It's putting our faith into practice. So when disaster strikes, we continue to look to God with the eyes of faith. We can learn from Paul and Silas, who very much were in physical prison. What did they do? Prayer and praise, focusing their eyes on God. And when we're in that metaphorical prison, prayer and praise become a great statement of faith that God is with us, that he is working for our ultimate best. When our hearts break and we can't go on, we pray for the Lord to carry us. When all around seems like darkness, we thank him for his light in the path and ask him that we would see that light again. When the loss is too much for us, we pray for his loving comfort. And when all around have abandoned us, we pray for a greater sense of his love. And when God rescues us from that prison cell, we tell everyone about the Jesus who has rescued us, not just from our current trials, but from all sin and wrongdoing. And so, like Joseph, we are people who do not hoard God's blessings, but let them overflow to others. One of my favourite songs, which definitely resonates with my experience, is "Christ is Mine Forevermore." And one of the verses, I think, sums up maybe what Joseph learnt about God being with him through the hard and the lonely times. Let me read that as I finish. "Mine are tears in times of sorrow, darkness not yet understood. Through the valley I must travel, where I see no earthly good. But mine is peace that flows from heaven, and the strength in times of need. I know my pain will not be wasted. Christ completes his work in me." Amen. Let's pray. Glorious and gracious Father, we thank you that through your Son and by your Spirit, you are with us. In whatever we're facing at this time, in whatever we will face and whatever we have faced, simply through us trusting in Jesus and his death on the cross. It's such a wonderful gift, along with all the other blessings that come. But for us here today who don't feel that you are with them, who don't feel that sense of companionship on the road, we do pray that there would be a greater sense of that for them, that they would know you, your Son, and your Spirit walking alongside them through the dark and lonely times. For those of us who have not yet discovered that amazing gift, may we find faith in you and catch a glimpse of all your Son has done for us. And for those of us who are not going through the bad times, but through the good times, may we remember you with us and not abandon you when times go well. And may we comfort and love those who are struggling. We pray all this through Jesus' name. Amen.